Good to welcome everybody, and welcome to the Motzai Shabbos Shir for Shabbos Parshas Lech Lecha, and the first in this year's full winter Motzai Shabbos series. Everyone's invited throughout the winter to hear another Shir on a halachic topic related in one way or another to the Parshas Shavua. This week, of course, we're laying Parshas Lech Lecha. The title of the Shir is Shmita from a Distance: Should One Obligate Oneself to Perform a Mitzvah? And just to introduce the Shir by pointing out, as you know, that this year, Tovshin Pei Beis 5782, is a Shemitah year in Eretz Yisrael, according to the calendar and according to the reckoning of the years that which we follow. And that, of course, presents in Eretz Yisrael various dinim that relate to agriculture, that relate to the land in Eretz Yisrael in terms of farming and planting and plowing and so on and sowing and so on and so forth. And also to what to do with the produce of the land that does grow during this year. There are various rules, most of which are not really applicable to us here in Chutz Laaretz. Although I guess later in the year, there might be some questions about produce, which arrives here through import-export and so on, that arrives in the United States. That's when Chutz Laaretz from Eretz Yisrael, what to do with those fruits. Maybe become an issue next Sukkot time when we're looking to buy an Esrog. You want to buy an Esrog, right? So there are various rules that apply. But for the most part, most of the Dinim of Shemitah do not apply to us here in Chutz Laaretz. But if you're like me, you probably got numerous emails or letters, or you saw in various Jewish newspapers in the weeks and months before the beginning of the Shemitah year, before Rosh Hashanah. Shemitah year starts Rosh Hashanah. You probably saw ads that if you give X amount of dollars to a particular organization, they will go ahead and purchase a parcel of land in your name in Eretz Yisrael, and they'll see to it that it's not farmed and that no Shemitah violations are perpetrated in this land. And that way you'll get a share. You'll sit here in the United States. You'll have your regular job. You'll make all your regular money with your regular parnosa, your regular earned income. But you'll get credit for letting your land lie fallow in Eretz Yisrael, because this will be a parcel of land that you own. So what I'd like to look at tonight, is there anything to that? Is that something one should do? Does it work if one does do it? And I'm not here to paskin, but rather just to raise some of the issues. Again, if it's a stock organization, nothing wrong with giving stock at any time. The question is, does this have any ramifications really in terms of your observing Shemitah? After all, you know, we're not farmers here, and we're going to continue to do whatever we do and earn our regular income. Do we get credit for observing Shemitah? Does it work? That's what I'd like to look at tonight. And really, there are two underlying questions which we have to analyze. Number one, is there any sort of obligation to put oneself in a situation to be able to perform a mitzvah, especially a mitzvah which one otherwise would be exempt from? We're not farmers. We don't own land in Eretz Yisrael. So is there any need or anything beneficial about creating a situation, going ahead to purchase land in Eretz Yisrael, so that we can perform the mitzvah of Shemitah? And you can extend this to other cases also. If you think of a mitzvah which you're exempt from, is there anything beneficial? Is there an obligation or even anything positive about going ahead to create the situation where you'll become obligated, even though otherwise you'd be putter? And number two, assuming there even is such an idea, to what extent should one go about doing that? How much money do you have to spend? I don't know, some of those requests, I guess it depended upon the size of the parcel of land they're going to buy, but some of them were not insignificant amounts of money that they were asking people to donate for this. So does one have to give up a significant amount of money to be able to do this? And again, bearing in mind that one otherwise would have been putter exempt from the mitzvah to begin with. So we begin here in Parshas Lech Lecha, an unlikely beginning perhaps, but if we look here in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah tells in the first of the sources, again, I hope you have the sources, I sent them out with the shul mailing. If not, you'll be able to follow anyway. Bereishis, Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Gimel, the Torah tells us, Avram and Sarah married for many years, they're not able to have children. And so Sarai, still called Sarai then, he was still called Avram, without the anyway, Sarai proposes that Avram should marry her maidservant Hagar. And indeed it says in Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Gimel, the first source, Vatikach Sarai Eishes Avram as Hagar mitzvah shimchosa. Indeed, Avram marries Sarai, takes Sarai as a wife, and it says, Miketz Eser Shamim L'Shevetz Avram Beretz Kenan. This was after 10 years of having been in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Kenan. Rashi comments on that in the second source. Why the Torah specify how long it was? Who cares? It was 10 years later. It says, Moed Rashi and Pasuk Gimel there, Miketz Eser Shonim. Moed HaKavur L'Isha She'asosa Eser Shonim L'Yoldo L'Bailo Chayv L'Sochar. This teaches us halacha that if a man is married for 10 years, okay, and they're not able to have any children, they should marry another wife, because there's a mitzvah pur rule. We'll talk about it, to procreate, to have children. If not able to have children with this wife, so they should wait. They don't necessarily have children right away. But after 10 years, that's what the Torah tells us, after 10 years in Eretz Yisrael. So then Avram took Hagar as an additional wife. Rashi, again, didn't make this up. Of course, it's a Gemara in Yevamah, Staf Samadal, actually a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Source 3, Yevamah Samadal, Nosa Isha Vishama Esra Shama Layoda. If a man is married for 10 years, he can't simply get rid of the mitzvah of ignore or be mevatel the mitzvah of pruvu, like Rashi says in 4. Either he should divorce his wife because he's got to be able to have children, or he should marry a second wife, which, of course, on a Torah level is permissible. He can have more than one wife, but he can't give up the mitzvah of pruvu. Of course, Yirsha, if he does divorce her, she can then go marry somebody else. Right. After all, maybe the problem isn't with the woman. Maybe the problem, sometimes the problem is with the man in terms of not being able to have children. So just go, or maybe it's a problem with neither one of them, but together they're not able. Sometimes there's biological factors and so on that with this wife or with this husband, they can't conceive children. So therefore the woman can marry somebody else. Okay. So that's what Rashi is. Mutel no zochle. Well, Armina akori. She's not necessarily barren because maybe Shema Rishon no zochle. But maybe there was for one reason or another he couldn't procreate with this wife, but she could with somebody else. The Gemara on that Mishnah, Samech Dalam and Aleph in Yevamos, Source 5. Tamar Bonan, Nosa Isha. He should divorce her and pay her ksuba. Okay, that's what they have to do when you get divorced. Because maybe not we have children with her. And then the Gemara says an interesting statement. There's no outright express proof for this. Okay, but there is some kind of a remez. And what is that? The pasuk here in our sedra in Lech Lecha. Zeichel adavim, mikates, esra shalom, shevach, avon, beretz, chan. Rashi, the Gemara adds, l'lamedcha she'en yeshivas chutzor, it's olo lo min aminya. The Gemara points out, they were married for many more than 10 years. They were married already before they came to Eretz Yisrael. But whatever the reason, living in chutzor, those years didn't count. The clock didn't begin ticking until they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, but then it's 10 years. And the Gemara says, this is a remez to this idea that you have 10 years to have children with a wife, otherwise you have to take a different wife. What is this all about? Okay, and Rashi, by the way, says, because they were asking Miketz Esher Shanim in 6, that's when he had relations with Hagar, because the first years, you know, there were many years, Shanim Rubos with Padan Aram, they lived elsewhere in Padan Aram, Aram Naraim, or Kasdim, that didn't count. Okay, maybe that's because they were chutzot, whatever the reason is. But that's what the Gemara calls the remez to this idea. And of course, the underlying mitzvah is the mitzvah of pur ru, which we find several times in the last couple of sedras in Bereishis, first of all, when man was created, Bereishis Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Zayin, and 7. Vayivra Elokim es Adam etzalma v'tzelam Elokim barasam zachar nekeva barasam. Man was created, male and female, and Pasuk Chav Ches, Vayivarach es Elokim, Aram Elohim, Elokim pur ru, Emilus Arts, etc. Right? The mitzvah of pur ru, to be fruitful and multiply, to have children, to procreate. Again, after the Mabul in Parshas Noach last week, Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, Vayivarach Elokim es Noach, they were again now permitted to go and were instructed to go and have children and repopulate the earth after it was everyone was wiped out with the Mabul. And then a little later in that, the same parak says, if you kill somebody, so you'll be executed and so on yourself. And then again, in Pasuk Zayin, about 10 Puruvu, Shirtsuar, Tzuruvu, again, Mitzvah Puruvu. Rashi explains there in Parshas Noach, Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin, in Source 9, Rashi, why did it say it twice within a span of 7 psukim? We just said in Pasuk Aleph, in Source 8, it just said Puruvu. So it says again Puruvu. Why did it say it twice? So Rashi, Lefi Pshuto, the simple reading is a Rishon of Bracha. The first pasuk is intended as a Bracha, right? Because it says Vayivorech. It means they should have the capacity, the ability to give it a Bracha. And the second time, it's for a Tzivui. Okay, it's a command. So the first time it's a broch, and the second time it's a command. That's why it's twice. And then Rashi, another medrash, it says, Misha Eino Osik Priver, Shovel Shovel Domin. That's the juxtaposition of Psukim Vav and Zion. It's Source Zion. It's Source 8. Shofech, if you spill blood, so the person refuses to have children, not people trying, they can't do it, but refuses to have children, it's considered to be murder. Okay. The Mishnah in Yevamos on Samach Aleph Mabez. Now, this is the same Mishnah in the Mishnayos as the one we saw above in Source 3, Samach Dalam and Aleph. In the Mishnayos, it appears all in one Mishnah. Many times, you look in the Mishnayos, the Mishnah is presented, and then the Gemara, they divide up the Mishnah into two or sometimes more parts because they just have a few lines in the Mishnah, and they have all the Gemara in that Mishnah, and then they continue. But in the Mishnayos, it's the same Mishnah. So this is the same Mishnah that we read before in Yevamos. It says Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav. If I look it up in the Mishnah, there it says in Source 10, Lo Yivatel Adam Mipriy V'Rivah. A person should not stop trying to have children and Yivatel Mitzvah Priy V'Rivah. Elam Kain Yesh Labanim. Unless he already has children, then you can delay. And how you can delay? It's not our subject tonight. How many children you have to have? That's a machlokas. Beis Shamar Mishnei Zharim. You have to have at least 2 males, and Beis Shalom Mizochon Akevim. at least a male and a female. And the Meiri explains over there, in that Mishnah Yevamah Samach Aleph Beis in source 11, the Meiri says, you should not be mevatel mitzvah puravu, as long as you don't have children, a mitzvah puravu remains. However, if you do, then you've already fulfilled the mitzvahs, then you can talk about delaying and otherwise. The Rambam paskins this way, Hilchus Isha's Perek Tesla Velacha Aleph 12, Aisha, Shehirshus, Baba Acharisun, Shehimna Onos, Tareis Amutar. If a woman and husband decide, for whatever the reason, they want to minimize or even eliminate, I'm going to hold off the questions at the end if that's okay. If they want to minimize having children, they don't want to be with each other and have relations, they're allowed to set up such an arrangement in their marriage if they feel like it. But that's only if you already fulfilled the mitzvah. Then he has to have to try as often as they can to be able to have children. Because, and Rambam says at the end of Halacha Aleph, mitzvah says Seishal Torah. Shenemar Puri quotes the Psukim and Bereishis and Noach. And both parshas says Puru. And Halacha Dal, he says we paskin like Beis Hillel, Kama Bonim Yelish, it's Kai Mitzvah Zubi, Yodah Zohar Nekeva. And the same thing appears in the Shulchan Aruch at the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer, which is the volume of the Shulchan Aruch, the third sefer of the Shulchan Aruch, the one that deals with marriage, you know, husband and wife issues and so on. So there it says in Siman Aleph Sif Aleph, Chayav Kol Adam Lishish Gadei Lifros Olivos. Every person is required to get married in order to be able to have children, and whoever doesn't is considered like shofar gdoma, like we said, and various other things. Gorim should shchina should tistalak miyisrael, and then in Sifhei he says like the Rambam we passing this hill kaven sheish adam zochan a kaven kia mitzvah peruvah. Very good. So there's a mitzvah peruvah. You're supposed to have children, procreate. Okay, obviously sometimes you're not able to have. Yeah, we can have six girls. We can have whatever. Okay, a person should do his best to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. Not always in your hands. And the other dinim has to be that the children themselves are themselves able to procreate. Later, so you don't really know if you fulfill the mitzvah until years later, till you have grandchildren. Okay, that's all in terms of that din. Tosus wonders on Samach Dalam Aleph, the Gemara said that if you're married for 10 years and you're not only children, so that's what we learn from here in Parshas Lech Lecha, that after 10 years you're trying to have children, not about children, obviously there's a problem, again, either with the husband or wife or both, or just the incompatibility of the two of them to be able to be able to produce a child. So then is he supposed to get divorced? And the Gemara says, even though there's no proof for this, there's a hint in our pasuk. So Tosus wonders there in Gevamah Samach Dalam Aleph, 14. What do you mean, Alpha Bishin Raila Dava? What if it's a clear cut proof? Why does the Gemara say it? Well, it's only a hint. Not only a hint, Posek by Avram Avinu and Arsedra, it seems to be a pretty direct. That's close to this Kasha. Raya Gemura. So he said, no, Raya Gemura ain't a Mishom. Ain't a. It's not a real Raya. Why? Mishom ain't Luma doesn't say you have to get divorced. Avram and Finataka didn't get divorced. Okay, he didn't divorce Sarah. He took on an additional wife. Okay. So it doesn't mean, you know, it's not really a proof that you have to get divorced necessarily, okay, which is what we were talking about in the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about no sale, Isha. It says, Yotzi Tinksubi, you have to divorce her. So that's why it's not a direct riot. Okay, Avram, therefore took on a second wife, and maybe they'll have Rachamim, and then eventually she'll have a child with her, which of course he did. That's why it's not a straight riot. What's interesting is that we don't today have the opportunity, at least among Ashkenazim, and now it's accepted by Sfaradim too, to have more than one wife based on what's called the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom. Right back around the year 1000, Rabbeinu Gershom was one of the leaders of the Jewish world in the European community, the Ashkenazic community, pronounced that it's not proper to have more than one wife. We don't do that today. The Sfaradim, in some place, never accepted that. There were stories about people coming, you know, in the mid-20th century, to Eretz Yisrael from Yemen and other places, had more than one wife. But this was accepted in the Ashkenazi community. Now it's accepted pretty much all over the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. So, Nebuchadnezzar Yosef points out there in Yevamos and Chalfam and Aleph of the page of the Rif in 15, the Masamona law, she said, if they married for 10 years and so on, it says you should divorce or marry somebody else. And he says, the Afal Gav, look at this, the Afal Gav, the end of the first line of 15, Shehecher and Gershon, he says Gershon, it's Gershon, whatever, Shehecher and Gershon Zalbi, she was Kama Chachamim, it wasn't just when Gershon, it was with the agreement to the other rabbinic scholars of the day, Shaloi Yisalik Mishal Ishto, B'chiha Lo Tikun. I didn't like that. He said, in this case, it's not applicable. And he quotes Uchein Kasav Menik Tzorfas, but Chuvas Aritvo. He refers to a Chuvas Aritvo as well, doesn't what Yosef. So according to this Rishon anyway, or some Rishon him, the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom has a point. He can't have, doesn't mean you have to divorce your wife, take on a second wife. I, Rabbeinu Gershom, that wasn't intended or that wasn't included in the Cherem. That's how the Ritvo that he refers to. On that Dalfin Yavam, Samach Dalam Aleph 16, Eino Rishoy, he says, he quotes the Din and so on. And he says, If they both agree, to have them another wife, okay, they'll have to have another wife. And he quotes again the name of Rabbeinu Tzorfas. He says, and look at the end there, Afal pi shehechrim Rabbeinu Gershom zal b'yeshivas kama chachamim shalois alam yishalishto b'chiyo lo tikon Rabbeinu v'chein kosu Rabbeinu Tzorfas b'tshuva. So that's an interesting idea. Not everybody seems to agree with that. Okay, Rashi and Ksubas, Ayin Zion Amid Aleph, you don't want to say listen to Isha, 17. Rashi says, Dimida Raisa, Lomachayab Lafuke, the Efshalika Chlo Isha Cheris, that's all. I'll be the Abban Kama, the Chol Kama, the Isha Laha, Gabe, Lo Nosivachrisi. I don't know what Rashi is referring to Ben Gershom or not. The Rashi is saying that even on Midoraisa, it's permissible for a man to have more than one wife, and therefore, if he can't have children from the first wife, he can take on a second wife, like Avraham Avinu did. However, Rashi Midorabanan, you know, we're afraid that, you married one woman, so it's awkward, or it's difficult to marry another woman, doesn't want to marry another woman, and so on. Again, I'm not sure he's referring to Ben Gershom or to a practice. In the Shiltas, in Parshas Toldos, Shilta Yurches, 18, the Shultos also mentions this idea, and he says at the end, he quotes a pasuk by Avraham Avinu and Ar Sedev. He says, let's say the man refuses after 10 years. He doesn't want to marry, so I'm not going to do the mitzvah puravu. So the Shultos writes that the Bezin gets involved, Masina le is a force. We force him to the extent that the Bezin can, Bal Korche. Why the Chamad Isa Gabei Sova Dilma Hasha Yaldom about the period of Rivia, right? As long as she's as long as she's with him, so you're not gonna be able to do period of Rivia. That's the assumption, and therefore Bezin can even get involved. Kofin, right? Maasin means we force Musa, force, right? We force them, and the Gemara implies that way. That same Gemara Ksubas Ayin Zainam and Aleph, which Rashi was talking about in the previous source, in 19, Amar Yehuda Amar Rasi Ein Maasin Al Psus Amar Cholkes. Some say we only force divorce when someone who's puzzled, right? For example, he wasn't allowed to marry in the first place. He's gone on mona lekoin gadol, grusha lechutz lekoin hedjet, and so on. Various prohibited marriage situations. Then that's when Bezin gets involved and says, we're going to force the person to get a divorce. Avol nosa isha, b'shalayim ha'ayis ha'sham v'loyal, there ain't kofen also. But this situation where they're married, they're happily married, there was no isser involved, just they're not able to have children, according to the first opinion, we don't force in that case. But, rav tachlich v'arviyam amar shmuel, afil nosa isha b'shalayim ha'ayis ha'sham v'loyal, kofen also. So it's actually machlokas in the Gemara, whether we're forced or not. Right? Rashi explains this kofen is a means masim means kofen, and kofen Rashi, the second Rashi in the 3:20, ain't kofen the lo kafina period of review. But that far we don't go. Okay, so that's an interesting question. Machlokas, whether we can actually step in Bezin. Again, we don't have the koch of Bezin today, but should Bezin get involved and try, and at least to the extent that they can, coerce. The Rosh, and there in Yavam, is Perk Vav Simon Tezvav 21, says obviously, he says the obvious thing, it doesn't mean we force him to get divorced, and that's it. We force him, he says, who gets divorced and marry somebody else. That's the whole point. The whole point is not just to leave this wife, but to get somebody else who is capable of having children. It's an obvious point. But the Rosh writes, the second line of Mistaber, the Mamoil Mamashigmarshim Lo Yishisacharis. Obviously, the person is to marry somebody else. So that's what we force him to do. I don't know. The Bezin will have to get into the Shidduch business. Okay. They'll have to figure out to do what they can to make them, to make them be married. The Rambam paskins and Hilchus and have children. The Rambam paskins and Hilchus Isha's parak tez vavalach hazayin. Lo yisto adam akara is kain violinus of tanish in a real lady. A person should lechatchila not marry somebody who is not capable of having children. Some women, is not capable of children, or she's too young, or she's too old, she's past the age of, you shouldn't marry her unless Ellen Kane, Kia mitzvahs peribah, a older couple decides to get married. They'll both have children from previous marriages, whatever. They're both divorced, they're both widowed, and so on. That's a different story. That's, of course, allowed. It happens many times. But a man should not marry a woman who's not capable of having children unless they already fulfill the mitzvah of puravu. And the Rambam also writes, "Nosa isha v'shosa imo eser shalim v'lo yolda hareza yotzi v'tein ksuba o yisa isha real either divorce her with the ksuba or married somebody else." Again, the Rambam in the Sephardi world, so you can have a second wife. And in lo rotza lo hotzi kofen osa, he writes even makin osa v'tein. The bezin can be makin, can beat the person. Again, we don't have that option today. Shulchan Aruch. Evan has the same Simon Aleph, Siv Gimel, Mitzvah, Kol Adam, Shisa Isha, Ben Yerches. Okay, in those days, you get married at the age of 18, and if you even get married earlier, it's an even better thing. It says, Makdin Lisa, Ben Yud Gimel, Mitzvah, Man Amukhar. I don't like that. It's a good thing to get married when you're only 13. They'll save the parents money. They can make the bar mitzvah and the wedding the same hall, the same caterer. You don't have to make a separate affair. Okay, anyway, but that's not the practical in today's setup. But anyway, not early, not fine. And certainly shouldn't wait 20 years. But anyway, later on, the Ramor writes in the third line, Today, we don't force in any of these areas. We don't force marriage and so on. The bezin is not going to. If someone did not fulfill the mitzvah purba and he wants to marry someone who's not able to have children, we don't get involved, even if the bezin should. Lo nahagu mikamadoros. Two lines from the bottom of 23. Lo nahagu mikamadoros. Ramos was writing in the 1500s already. Many several generations. The ledakdek binyan azivugim to bezin to get involved in these things. So we simply don't do it. And we're saying thing. Nasa isha v'shoyma asar shonim. Our case. Lo nahagu lachavos lagarsha. We don't get involved in any of these marital situations and forcing divorces with the bezin. He's not getting involved in that today. Again, at the end, the Rambam writes, unless the woman is also to marry, then we get involved. And the same thing appears later. It was getting, and Eben Ezra Sim Kufnun Dalat Siv Yud, where the Shulchan Aruch says, Nosa Isha. I can mute, I appreciate it. Got interference there. Okay, anyway, Nosa Isha the Shulchan. Hold on 1 second. Can I ask everyone to make sure they're muted? So we don't get any interference. Let's see, you can do it from here. Okay, anyway, so the Shulchan brings this in. If you're married to 10 years, Yotzi Tinksuba. Okay, Yotzi Tinksuba. Oh, you say Shulel Eilid, but again, there are more rights. Go, Yeshomen, we don't do this today. You also discuss what if you had only one child, so you were not able to, okay, you had one child. So in that case, we don't get involved. So there's an interesting comment from the Pisrei Tshuva. You'll see where I'm going with all this. Eben Ezra Siman Kuf Nun Dalad. The Pisrei Tshuva. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. We'll save a few minutes. But basically, he was asked by a young fellow, Ishel Yirei Elokim, and son, who was with his wife for 10 years. And he doesn't want to divorce her. They're in love. She's a wonderful woman. And, you know, Isha's Chayil, she was Yiras Hashem, and she enables him to learn all the time, and he's not healthy, and she takes care of him, and so on. But it's not so simple. We're talking callously over here. Well, if you couldn't have children, 10 years, divorce her. What do you mean? They don't want to get divorced. They have a wonderful life. Nebuch, they don't have children, but they have a wonderful life together. They're happily married, and she's in love with him. He's in love with her. Everything's good. That's what he was asked. And he said, I know. And he asked the Shilat, the Pisrei Tshuva was quoting another Sefer. He asked the rabbi, I know that we don't force anymore today, but if that's the right thing, the halacha to do, this person, your age, wants to do it. Is that indeed the halacha? I have to get divorced. If I'm going to do it, I have to divorce her, then I'll do it. Right? So he has the Pisrei Tshuva quotes. There's true. There's many reasons why I think it doesn't apply to that. First of all, they lived in Chutz La'aretz. So he said that earlier it didn't apply the whole thing in Chutz La'aretz. But leaving that out, he has other reasons why it's not necessary in that case to divorce her, especially he was not well and she takes care of him. He has other different terutzim to bail it out. But one thing he mentions is a very interesting point, which really leads us into the next part of the discussion. Okay. He mentions maybe 5 lines in the bottom there in source 25, the bottom of that page. It says, you're not obligated to give up your whole savings, your whole treasure, a whole sum of money for the purpose of fulfilling a mitzvah, like kagon eser galulav. And he says, mitzvahs puravu benidon zed deshah eser shanim gara mishar mitzvah say. He says, what do you mean? Where does this fit into the mix? You're telling a guy to get divorced. That's worse than telling him to spend all his money. No, that's also like giving up your whole life. Right? So for all these reasons, the Pisrei Tshuva quotes that tshuva as saying that in that particular case, he didn't think that a person had to get divorced. What's he referring to over here? He has others. You can look at it. So there's a sugi and ksubas, nun amad aleph, 26, where the Gemara says, amar biloy, Usha Hiskino, Usha is the name of a city, which is where the Sanhedrin, around the time of the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Sanhedrin had to jump from place to place. It wasn't safe for other reasons. So one of the cities they were in for a while was Usha. So it says, in the city of Usha, they instituted, when you spend money on something, we'll see in a minute what the something is, you shouldn't spend more than one-fifth, 20%. That's it. Okay, because then you're going to end up short of money. You're going to have to depend on other people. You blow all your money. So then you're going to have to turn to the community tzedakah fund and knock on doors and say, okay, you're not supposed to do that. And the Gemara tells them, Maisa, and the Rabbanim wouldn't let the person give away more than that amount of money. What are we talking about? So Rashi in 27, Ksubas Nunam and Aleph says, Mavazbez La'aniyim. Talking about giving tzedakah. You shouldn't give all your money to tzedakah because then you're going to have to collect tzedakah. What did you accomplish? Okay, you're going to give away all your money, right? And then suddenly you're not going to have any money to buy food or enough money to pay your mortgage or whatever. So you'll have to dump to the rabbi the discretionary fund and so on. So there's a limit to how much you have to spend, right? But that would not have anything to do with us because it's talking about aniyim, giving to tzedakah. However, other Rishonim, including Rashi, the Shittim Gebetz is there in Ksubas, Nunam Alvin 28, quotes some of the earlier version of Rashi, you know, different versions of Rashi's transcripts, you know. So in the earlier version of Rashi, it says, Hamavazbez Nechasa Lehekdesh, donating to the Beis HaMikdash for Karbonis and so on and so forth, which is not quite tzedakah to the poor, but it's in that realm, but it's already broadens it. If you look in the Rishonim, there in Ksubas, Paragdat Alocha Ches 29, Shimon Lakesh Hashem Yudah Ben Chanina Nimnu Ba'usha She Adam Mafrish Chomesh Ben Chosov Lemitzvus. So Shalmi specifically says not to want tzedakah and to give it to the poor, it's not mitzvahs. Now, full disclosure, the Karbon Eda, one of the important commentaries in the Shalmi, there in Paragdat Alocha Ches writes Lemitzvus, let's talk it. But the Pnei Moshe, the other commentary in the Shalmi, which is on the only commentary that we have in the entire Shalmi, says in 31, She Adam Mafrish Chomesh Chosov Lemitzvus Avalo Yosef. So now, it's not just a matter of giving away money to Tzedakah, it's a matter of giving how much you have to be willing to spend for a mitzvah. I asked that question at the beginning. Okay, even if you want to argue, coming back to our question, it's a good idea to own land for Shemitah and have it life out. How much you have to want to spend? How much? You know, there's limits to how much you spend for a mitzvah. So here it says Chomesh, and clearly the Rishonim learn that that's what the Gemara is talking about. It's not limited to Tzedakah. Rashi was, when he said Aniyim back in Swiss 27, on the top of Nunam and Olives, the Rashi is talking about the context of that Gemara there, but he didn't mean it. The halacha is only that. It's clear because there's a Sugin Baba Kama, Tesam and Olive, Tesam and Beis 32. The Gemara there is talking, it says, for a mitzvah, you should spend up to 1/3 what you have for a mitzvah. It says 1/3. The Gemara says, what do you mean? So then when you do 3 mitzvahs, you have no more money. So then Gemara concludes, it wasn't talking about that at all. It's talking about what we call hider mitzvah. You have to be willing to spend more, 1/3 more for to do a mitzvah more beautifully. Okay. So the common example, that's how Rashi and the Gemara figures out. Okay. For example, I mean, you go shopping before Sukkot, so you know, there's a $25 table and there's a $45 table and a $75 table, $120 table. But all, not that I always understood how they figure that out, but you know, but I mentioned that in the past. But anyway, but they're different, tables with different amounts of money. So you spend a little more to get it fancy. If you look carefully, and Tosas there, but comment, that's some base. Okay, again, the sugya there is about hider mitzvah, but the havamin, the Gemara seems to say you should be able to spend up to 1/3. The Tosas points out that no, you don't, and then you don't have to do that. Tosas Divramasi Elema 34, Mashman, the ain't circle of Azza, call Mamono, Liknos Esser. Despite that, that the movie was speaking, you're going to have to give everything you own to buy an Esrog. You can't afford it, you can't afford it. And I feel even so, if you can't find any cheaper. And even though it's a mitzvah overis means that it's a time-related mitzvah, it's not going to be relevant next week after Sukkot is over. Okay, it's a limited amount of time you have this mitzvah. It's also a limited amount of time that it's that expensive. Okay, but the bottom line is that the next week, you're not going to be a mitzvah to take an Esrog. And what's called the mitzvah overis. So, and then Tosus brings in Marina Nami, look, second line there. Ksubazunara, Vazes, Avazes, Yosme Chomish. Okay, so clearly Tosus also learns that Gemara of Avazbe is talking about, not just giving to tzedakah, but for mitzvahs in general. The Rosh there in Rabbi Kama Parakal of Simon Zion says the same thing. Okay, that even for mitzvah veris, don't spend more than this amount. The Rosh Bohan is Kedushim Rabbi Kama, all the Rishonim. They're in Tesla Bays in 36. They all say, okay, and what's the reason behind it? So the Rashba there in 36 quotes the Ravid. Right, look at the second line. Is that Tema? Hech nosnu domem l'mitzvah veris. How could you make a monetary limit? It's a mitzvah. And if the mitzvah is going to go away, it's not going to be here tomorrow. Okay, tefillin, not a mitzvah veris. I don't have it tomorrow. I have it the next day. But sukkah, you know, lulav is gone after a week. So how could you put a price tag on it? And the Ravid explains. Of course, the Ravid, the second line in 36. The kadei shol yovel l'day oni. So you won't end up being poor, but yapel atzmal atzibur, and you have to turn to the community for your money. You don't do that even for mitzvahs. We don't do it, right? And even have by Shabbos, I say Shabbat chachol. Make your Shabbos like a weekday, not go to work, chas v'shalom, but make your Shabbos in terms of meals. And okay, have cheap food. You can't have fancy food. You can't afford it, but al tiktzarech labrios. And it also quotes the Gemara, Abavazvez al yavazvez yosem v'chomish. That's how the Rambam paskins in the end of Hilchos, Erchen v'charam and Perakas halach yud gimel. He's talking about donating to the Beis HaMikdash. He also says, lo'olam lo'yachdish adam lo'yachim kol nechosot. Don't give away everything you have. And whoever does that, the Rambam calls an idiot. He says, whoever does it, look at the second line. Ein zu chassidus el shtus. This is not frumkeit. This is not piety. It's nonsense. Okay. And then the person who calls him a chassid shota, pious fool. Okay. And ruins things for other people in the rest of the world and so on. And therefore, in the third line of 37, el kol mefazi mamona b'mitzvos al yefazi. Don't spend more than this amount. Okay. And so on. Okay. And he quotes a pasuk, which we said so many times on Sukkot, right? On Yontif, Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Yizan Advarim. Ish kematnas yodo, kevir kashon hakachanos, asher nosanach. You spend what, in accordance with what Hashem has given you. And the same thing is quoted in the halacha by the Ramah. In the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Reish, Nun Vav, Arachayim, Sif Aleph, Hilchas Lulav, the Ramah writes, after the talks about the Hidr Mitzvah, the Mechaber, the Ramah adds on the third line, Umi she'ein lo esog oshar mitzvah veris, ein tzorach levaz v'zalea hon rav. You don't have to spend a huge fortune for mitzvahs. U'kamosha amru, same Gemara and Ksubas, ha'vaz v'zalea yosem v'chomesh. Afilo mitzvah veris, like we said, from Tos, the Rosh, from everybody who learns the Sugat Awe, that's the halacha, says the Ramah. You don't have to spend beyond a certain amount, a ridiculous amount of money, that's more than you can afford for any mitzvah, even a mitzvah veris. But he points out that's a mitzvah saseh. Okay, but a mitzvah lo saseh, mitzvah lo saseh, then you have to be willing to give up everything. As I mentioned in Shul today, I mentioned in another Shirim, you know, people for, you know, there are people, you can't say, well, if I don't work on Shabbos, it's going to cost me more than 20% of my income. Well, too bad. Okay, yeah, and they can't work on Shabbos. And we know people who didn't, who gave up their jobs, who were fired every week because they didn't go to work on Shabbos. That's a different thing. That's a lo saseh. And the Mishabur explains, in Sukkot and Tez, you're looking for it, he says, Avo mitzvah lo saseh, the bitul aseh. See, when you're mevatel aseh, bitul aseh is, you're preventing yourself, you're sheval taz, you're not doing anything. You didn't directly violate what Hashem said, just didn't do. But here with the lo saseh, you went against the ratzon of our Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, putting all this together now, with this in mind, the Avnei Nezer discusses also, Chelek Eben HaEzer, Siman Aleph. He discusses this question of a person who's been married for many years, can't have children and so on. And how much you have to give up for a mitzvah, we said, you don't spend hon rav. Okay, so he says, I don't understand. The same thing like the Pisrei Tshuva in that case talked about, but he made it seem like that was an exceptional case. But the Avnei Nezer says in general, how can we ever have a statement that a person should get divorced, because he can't have children? What do you mean? It's a mitzvah saseh. Good. It's a mitzvah saseh. But we just learned you don't have to give up your whole fortune for a mitzvah saseh. So this person is in love with this woman. They have a wonderful life together and they don't want to give up. They don't want to get divorced. What do you mean? We even forced maybe to get divorced, although the Ramah said we don't do that today, but still in principle, how could you even have such a din, says the Avnei Nezer. He says, how could it be? So Lagari, look at the second line of 41. Lagari, she sees to who you also may own Rav. That's in many cases, maybe they don't like each other so much anyway, so now they have a terrence to get divorced. But in most situations, that's not the case. Most situations, you tell a person to get divorced, that's more than telling to give up more than 20% or a huge fortune of his money. That's worse. It's more and more difficult. How can we even have such a din? So he says, maybe it's different. This is more chumrah, especially they don't have any children at all. Not to have this one. They don't have any children. So he says, Shalom Yimocha Shmo B'Yisrael, right? Otherwise, the family's name is going to disappear. They have no children. That's it. And we see that that's an important thing because by Yibum, right? If a man dies, he didn't have any children. And the wife, the widow has got to be, the brother's got to marry to keep the family name alive. So that's a value. That's one thing he mentions. But still, he says, I don't think that that's an Oshes. But in Oshes, he says that he's not convinced that that's really right. Okay. So he makes another distinction. He says by Lulav and Sukkot, his other mitzvahs, I say, he says, you know something? If you don't do it this year, next year, maybe, next year Sukkot comes around again. So next year I'll have a Lulav and Esek for Sukkot. Maybe this year you can't afford it, but okay, Bez Hashem, next year your fortunes will be better. You'll get another better job and you'll have money. The mitzvah is not disappearing. Okay. It's not that you'll never, ever in your life be able to do the mitzvah. However, if they can't have children, that means they're never in their life going to be able to do it. He said, maybe that's a distinction. Maybe there, it's different. And you have to be able to spend more, so to speak, and more important for our purposes. Now you have to go ahead and divorce them. And that's what the Avnei Nezer suggests. And with that in mind, there are other things which you can bring in. But in principle, the Avnei Nezer is saying, that's okay. Maybe that's why Puruvu is different. Maybe that's why Puruvu is different. But more relevant to our discussion this evening, our ultimate discussion this evening, is the fact that for mitzvahs, you don't have to go overboard. Okay, yes, maybe Puruvu is different because the family name will be erased if you don't have children, or because you'll never be able to do the mitzvah. It's not like Sukkah is going to come around next year, or you'll be able to put on tefillin next week. Okay, if they can't have children, Okay, so maybe that's different. Okay, but in principle, what emerges not out of Nenezah, like from the Pisgah Tshuva we saw before, that you don't have to do everything. There's a limit when it comes to mitzvahs. Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's a Tshuva, Igros Moshe Orachaim Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Ayin Beis, 42. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, do you have to put yourself in physical danger to do a mitzvah? Right, he was asked the cases. You can read it there in 42. The case of the person was in a mental hospital. He was Baruch Hashem cured. You know, he was they worked out whatever the difficulties were. They were soon going to release him, but not just yet. And it was Rosh Hashanah time, so the family asked. So we just convinced them to let him out so he can hit the Kiyah Shofar. Apparently, it wasn't possible to arrange for shofar blowing there. We want him to be able to come out and hit the Kiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And Moshe Feinstein said no. He said, if the doctor's determined that he needs to stay in right now, he's not obligated to jeopardize his health or even his mental health, and he's putter from the mitzvah and finished. Right? You don't have to go crazy to be able to do a mitzvah. Right? I'm saying that the tongue in cheek, but that's the case that Rama was talking, that Moshe was talking about. He says that don't do it. He says, don't take him out. The second line, ain't tzuchot tzibo, I was a mitzvah say, and he's the putter now from the mitzvah say. His mental health has to improve. And that's what the doctors determine. That's what you have to do. And in another tshuva, Ramosha was asked on the other side, however, if an Ezra Chelik Dalet Simon Ayin Aleph, a person was sick, he didn't want to have children. So can he marry and make, if he finds a woman who agrees not to have children, maybe she has children, or whatever reason she agrees, should he marry her and so on? He says, well, he thinks that really just being afraid to have kids is not enough, right? Kosher, because you're worried about this thing or that thing. That's psychological and so on. But if there are various other types of concerns, okay, then Taka, you know, it's better to have, then he should marry an older woman who can't have children anyway. You won't have to worry about it. But I'm just saying these other factors come into the mix. The Avdenezer in a different tshuva. Yoridea Simon Shin Chafala, 44. Okay, was asked about a child, Yelad HaNolad Beregel Akum. He had some kind of a deformity in his leg. His leg was bent or something like that. I don't know, it's clubfoot. I'm not sure what the exact case was. Some kind of a deformity. And the expert, Rofe, said they can do things through some operation, okay, as long as the bones are still soft, not fully formed. His little boy, he's a baby, an infant. But after 8 days, you do a bris mila, he thinks that the part of the recovery of the bris mila, the bones are going to harden. You won't be able to do it anymore. So Avdenezer was asked, should do the operation, even though now, like when a child's 2-3 days old, whatever, even though now you won't be able to have a bris bismana because it's going to take a while to recover from this operation, can you go ahead and do the operation, even though the child now will be 2 weeks to have a bris? That's a question. Muta lasa to operatia, okay, to push off the bris mila. And he says, in Osalav, in Ames Kedivero, from the doctors are right, and a dover borer, the muta lasa to operatia, the mitzvah sasei, the same discussion we had, for the sake of a mitzvah say, bris mila, important mitzvah, for the sake of mitzvah say, okay, this goes a little bit against what we suggested in a different shiur earlier, but this Avdenezer is saying, you see clearly, for a mitzvah say, you don't have to go crazy, even for bris mila, that's what I'm pointing out, even for bris mila, so you'll delay the bris mila until the child is healthier, right? And it's all under this idea, you don't have to spend a fortune, so you don't have to spend a fortune to get divorced either. Bottom line, though, after all this is said and done, absent any of those considerations, then it seems like you do have to go out of the way to do a mitzvah. If we put everything that we saw together, we see that really you should exert every possible excuse or every not excuse, avoid every possible, exert every possible effort to do any mitzvah. Yeah, there are some exceptions if it's outrageously expensive, but you know, some of these letters that we got about Shemitah and buying parts of land, it was expensive, but it wasn't that, it wasn't 20% of her income. It wasn't a huge expense. I mean, not everybody's the same, but it wasn't for everybody a huge expense of money or various other mitzvahs, you know, absent any of these exceptions. There are some exceptions, but notice what the exceptions are. A man getting divorced from his wife, you know, a child who's deformed, you know, someone who's sick, that's mentally sick. That, okay, there you have exceptions we can avoid, or we can put off doing a mitzvah, okay, or even exempt altogether. But the implication would seem to be that absent any of those considerations, then the implication, otherwise these shalas would never come up. And the fact that these shalas came up indicate that usually the given or the operative principle is that a person should do everything possible to perform a mitzvah. If you can't because of reasons A, B, and C, and X, Y, and Z, okay, then we can talk about exceptions. But again, that's what I'm trying to stress. The given, okay, is that a person should do everything possible to obligate himself to perform, or herself, to perform a mitzvah, even if you might otherwise have a way out, unless it's such an extreme circumstance like the ones we've discussed, like with Avraham Avinu and so on, there's another way out. He took another wife. Okay. But really, why did he take another wife? Because he's supposed to have children. So there you go. You do whatever you have to do, even though it might cause other difficulties. Unless, as I said, it's these difficulties that we mentioned. So Hayotzev, everything up to here is that it would seem that absolutely a person should do everything possible to perform a mitzvah. Where do we get that from? So there's the Gemara in Sota, famous Gemara, Yud Daram and Aleph, Dorash Rab Simloi, 45. Yibnei Man Nisabe Moshe Rabbeinu Likonis Eretz Yisrael, right? The old question, why was Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael because, you know, he hit the rock and saw whatever the Avera was over there. So he wasn't, and then he davened so many tefillahs, was Hanan 515 tefillahs and so on and so forth, davened so much. Why was he so desperate? The Gemara says, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, the Gemara says, V'chilecho M'piria Hutzorech. He wanted to taste the Jaffa orange. That's why he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to have a falafel or something. What was so desperate to go into Eretz Yisrael? So Elakach Omar Moshe, harbin mitzvahs. No, he wanted to do more mitzvahs because there are many mitzvahs applying in Eretz Yisrael. And I can't do them. I want to go into Eretz Yisrael, right? To be able to do more mitzvahs. That's why. So what do you see? What do you mean? He was potter. He lived in Chutzar. Doesn't matter. He wanted to be able to do mitzvahs, right? You see that a person should try and obligate himself in mitzvahs. And the Moshe Rabbeinu held that against himself. And interesting, Gemara Pesachim Kufiyot Testament Beis, Gemara there discusses, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lassos 46, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lassos LaTzadikim, right? That he's going to make a Suda LaTzadikim. At the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a Suda, okay, for the Tzadikim, okay? And all the great Tzadikim will be there. I'll tell you who I don't want to be. I don't want to be the gabbai who's in charge of asking who's going to lead the benching. Okay? Because, right, they have, like no one wants to be the gabbai at the rabbinical conventions. Okay? Because who are you going to give the aliyah to? I think I told the story in the past that my uncle and uncle, my wife, told me when he was a young man, he came with his brother to a rabbinical convention, and the gabbai called up a certain rav for the whole rabbi. Everyone there was a rabbi. They called up a certain rav for Shlishi, and they called a different rav for Ravi. And he said, you could see written all over the other guy, the second guy's face, why he got Shlishi and I only got Ravi. So my uncle told me, his brother said to him, wait and see what's going to happen. Later on Shabbos in the afternoon, that rabbi who got Shlishi was giving one of the keynote sessions. And the rabbi who got Ravi interrupted him and said, how can you say that? It's against this. And I said, against that. And my uncle says, brother turned to him and said, Ravi, right? That's, he got Ravi. He's going to show that he's a bigger Talmud Chacham than the other rabbi. Anyway, you don't want to be the person to make that decision. So the Gemara says, they asked Avraham Avinu, and Avraham said, I can't lead the benching because I had a son Yishmael, didn't always follow my ways. And Yitzhak said, I had a son Esav, and Yaakov said, I married two wives, which later wasn't allowed. And Moshe Rabbeinu refused. You know why? He said, I can't go into Eretz Yisrael. I couldn't be. He held that as a negative, a flaw in himself. Anyway, bottom line, you see from that Gemara, you try and put yourself in a situation to do a mitzvah when you can. That we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Unless you think it's just Moshe Rabbeinu, so there's a Gemara Menachas, Mem Aleph, Men Aleph. The Gemara there talks about a Malach who visited Rav Katina, rabbi, one of the Amorim. And he was wearing a certain type of garment. I won't go into the details now. He was wearing a certain type of garment that didn't need tzitzis. The way the type of garment was, didn't need tzitzis, sadin. So the Malach said to him, Tina, you know, you wear this garment in the summertime. I noticed in the wintertime, you wear a different type of garment. You never have tzitzis. You're potter from tzitzis, all the garments. So what happened to the mitzvah? What's going to be? So he said, well, what's the difference? Am I going to get punished? Amalei, anshisu ase, will I get punished for violating mitzvah? I didn't. I'm potter, right? I happen to wear, really only have to have tzitzis if you're wearing a four-cornered garment. The truth is, it's relevant today. Most of our garments are not four-cornered. We put on what we call our kafan, tzitzis, so that we can have tzitzis on. But why? If I wear a regular garment, I'm potter. I wear a shirt that suits our garments today, are not four-cornered. So this Rav Katina got rebuked by the Malach. He said, you never wear tzitzis. So he said, so what? I'm potter. He said, no, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry about something else, I'll punish you more for this aver as well, if there's ever a problem. Okay, but anyway, the Rashi says what the garments are and so on and so forth. Okay, now the truth of the matter is, really, you don't have to go ahead to buy a garment unless you have it, but if you do have it, then of course you have to put on, as the Tosu points out, Dumasan Shisu. Okay, but in terms of the punishment, the Marsha says if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry about something else, he'll hold this against you. Maybe it's only by Tzadikim. Okay, I don't want to go into all that Gemara now. I wouldn't have time. There's some interesting comments in that Gemara. Okay. But really, Tosu says in Erchin Basin 51, everyone has to make where it sits, but im yesh lem talis. Okay, but if you don't have such a talis, maybe we call it talis, it's a four-cornered garment. You have a four-cornered, if not, okay. And even though the Malach Rebuk Rav Katina, but technically speaking, you don't really have to do it. But yet, why did the Malach rebuke him? And the Gemara Pesachim, Kufi Gimel Beis 52 says there's certain people that are considered menuda, you know, are removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something like in Cherem, and one of them is a person who doesn't wear tzitzis bebigdo, right? So why is it, well, you're not chayev, right? So no, the idea is that, you should try and do mitzvahs. And that's what Tosa says, 54. There in Pesachim, Kufiyud Gimel Beis. Ve'ein lo bonim, Tosa says, Nire, dafka ayidei pshioso. I mean, you know, like he talks about Purvu. Someone doesn't have children. He tried. But if he didn't try, if he didn't care to try. But if he tried, then it's not a problem. And he says in the same thing, just like tzitzis. And where do we learn? He's supposed to try and put yourself in an obligation. Says Tosa's, I said before, so a person should try and do mitzvahs. Now, you could also argue, as some do, that maybe tzitzis is different. Maybe tzitzis is different because tzitzis is considered, that's how Mordechai writes there in Menachos, in the Parakat Ches, Daf Mem Aleph, on the page of the Gemara, Hochas Tanas Lamordechai 55, he writes, you know, maybe it's because tzitzis is shkula keneged kol mitzvahs, because it says Laman Tizkaru. Okay, you'll see the tzitzis, and that's how the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, Shari Gimel, Eschof Beis 56. He says that, you know, Yeshua tzitzis may be different because you were reminded by all the mitzvahs. That's what the Pasuk says, right? In 57, third part of the Parashah Kriyishma. Parak Tezvav, Pasuk Laman Tezvav, Ohel Lechem Letzitzis, Urisim Eto Oschar, Oso Oschar, Etem Eskom Mitzvah Hashem. Maybe that's why tzitzis is different. Rashi explains tzitzis in Gematria is the 600 and the 8 strings and 5. Whatever, tzitzis reminds you of the Targum mitzvahs. Okay? And the Gemara says in Menachos, Mem Gimel Beis in 59, Shkula mitzvahs, tzitzis, mitzvahsu, keneged kala mitzvahs, kula mitzvahs. Like all the other mitzvahs put together. That's why it's so important. Okay? And the Rambam says that also, Per Gimel Alocha Yud Beis of Hilchos Tzitzis, 61. Well, Olam Yehei Adam, Zor mitzvahs, tzitzis, because it's, the pasuk compared it to all the rest of the mitzvahs, and the Torah mentions it also. All right, so you may say tzitzis is different. Nonetheless, the simple reading is not like that. The simple reading is a person should put himself in a situation just like Moshe Rabbeinu did to try and do as many mitzvahs as possible. Again, unless you have these external conditions, you can't afford it. It means divorcing your wife. It means having more. It means somebody who's sick or whatever else. So it's interesting to relate that while we don't have, to my knowledge, early sources about buying land in Eretz Yisrael to be able to observe Shemitah, we do find something else which is discussed by early Achronim. Yonas and Abishitz discusses the following, not exactly the same case. There is a mitzvah in the Torah, Parsha Shoftim, Dvarim Perek Yud Ches, about the things you have to give, some of the gifts you have to give to Kohanim. And one of the things is when you slaughter an animal, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Nozei, Yemish Par Akonim, Eis Om, Meizok HaZebachim, Shor, Im Seven, Nos, Al HaKohen, HaZeroa, Ba'al HaChayayim, Ba'akeva. There are matnos kahuna. There's sometimes these are just sometimes called matanos. These gifts have to be in the kohen. You slaughter an animal, then the zroa, which is the foreleg, the lechayim, it's like the jaw, maybe includes the tongue, which is a good piece of meat, but people like it. I happen not to like it. Many people do like tongue. Fine, but a keva, part of the stomach, you have to give to the kohanim. And also, next pasuk, rachis agaz, rachis, the first shearings of wool of your sheep. These are among the things you have to give to the kohanim. And it says in part, like we know about truma and rice, and these are other things. Kivo bocha shon lekecha mikol shvatecha, and so on. They were chosen to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we give these to the kohanim. So the Mishnah says in Chulin, Kuf Lamed Raman Aleph, at the beginning of a parak that has that name, 64, Hazroa v'lachayim akeva nogin ba'aretz u'mechutz aretz. That's not bound to Eretz Yisrael. This mitzvah to give these parts of the meat, these cuts of meat to the Kohen is in Eretz Yisrael and also in Chutz Laretz. And whether B'fnei Abayis or B'fnei Abayis. In the Beis HaMikdash, not in the Beis HaMikdash. But it only applies to Chulin meat and not to Karbonis meat. Fine. Rashi wonders, of course, Rashi wonders the implication in Rashi, Kuflam and Al Dumas Lazoi. Rashi wonders, well, of course, why would we think there's only in Eretz Yisrael? Okay, truma and ma'aser for your produce, all right, that you think is only in Eretz Yisrael because, you know, the agricultural, well, why would agricultural requirements are unique to Eretz Yisrael? But Zeroa L'chaim Kev is not an agricultural requirement, it comes from the meat of an animal. So, of course, why should it not apply in Chutz Laretz? So Rashi says, you're right, there's nothing, no chiddush here. Really wanted to tell you the last line of that Mishnah that I printed, B'chulin v'lo mukdashin. Okay, it applies only to chulin meat, regular meat, and not to meat from korbanos. Okay, but the Ritva, in his Kedushim there in Chulin Kuf Lamed Omer Aleph, in that Mishnah 66, he says the reason why is because really the Mishnah is telling us that the din is not like Rabbi Loi, who says the matanos, these gifts, Zroa, L'chaim, and Keva, apply only in Eretz Yisrael, Ein Nohagin, Ela Ba'aretz. There is such a sheet. And indeed, we look at 67, Kuf Lamed Vav Omer Aleph, V'atanya, Braisa, Rashi Ben Chusa, it's not a question, it's a statement, Rabbi Loi Omer, matanos, Ein Nohagin, Ela Ba'aretz, Rabbi Loi, one of the Tanaim, was of the opinion not like this Mishnah. Okay, was rather that these gifts also are restricted to Eretz Yisrael. So that's a machlokas. Bottom line, it's a machlokas. How do we pass against a machlokas? I mean, Tanaim. The Mishnah said one way, and the Ritva said the Mishnah comes to tell you not like Rabbi Loi, and Rabbi Loi says no. I hold like Rabbi Loi. He says no. He says you have to. That's only applicable. You have to give Zroa L'chaim akeva only in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says later in Chulin Kuflam and Bomer Beis 69 Amar of Nachman Yitzchak Ha'idna Nog Alma Kahani Tlas Sove. We follow the following three elderly rabbis. Whatever the other two are, but we're important. We're interested in Rabbi Loi by Reishis Agez. We follow the Halacha Rabbi Loi by Reishis Agez. The Tanya Rabbi Loi Omer Reishis Agez and Anayag El Baretz. The first shearings of the wool from your sheep has to go to the coin, And Rashi points out, Kuvamay 70, Ruhua Din Lamatanos. Same thing regarding Matanos, the Zroa Lachaim and Keva applies only in Eretz Yisrael. And Tosus agrees. Tosus the Masuk Rabbi Loi 71 also agrees. Ruhua Din Lamatanos, like Rashi said, and so on. Tzmachokas Rishon, the Rambam doesn't agree. The Rambam Hilchos Bikurim Perak Tes Alachalach 72 writes Mitzvah's essay, Litain Kozor Hemator Lakoin Azroa Lachaim and Keva. He quotes the Pasuk and so on. That's what we call Matanos. And the second line, the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Zuno Heges Tomid, Bein Bifnei Abayit, Bein Shalom Bifnei, Bechol Mokom, Bein Baritz, Bein Bechutz Oritz. Okay? So the Rambam disagrees. The question, we pass like the Mishnah, we pass like Rabbi Loi. Okay, Machlokas. What does it say in the Shulchan Aruch? Yerodeh Simen Samach Aleph, Sivchav Aleph. Matanos Noagas Bechol Mokom, and Chaber says, like the Rambam, which is not surprising, Bein, although in Yerodeh, it's not always the rule the same way it is in Aruch Haim, but okay. Matanos Noagas Bechol Mokom, Bein Baritz, Bein Chutz Oritz, Bein Bifnei Abayit, Pierce Bizman Shavis and the Shkhan, Ben Shalom Nabais. Then he writes, for the Yeshmi Shaomer, Shaena Nogos, Bukhutzarts, Vechain Nogu. The meaning is we don't do it in Chutzarts. Okay, that's the meaning. What's all this got to do with us? So, Beyonce and Abishitz was the Gadol Hador in the 1700s, late 1600s, early 1700s. Lived in the triple cities, not twin cities, but triple cities. Altona, Hamburg, and Wandsburg. Sometimes abbreviated Aleph Hevav Ahu. You see that sometimes. He was the chief rabbi there. So, Rabbi Abishutz writes, and has a sefer in Yerodeh called Kresi Plesi. So, in the Plesi, in Simon Samach Aleph, Sivkot and Vav, on this ruling in the Shulchan Aruch, he says, I'm not really sure, but Emes lo yadati, I don't know why, Anshe Maisa Machmir and Bechamed Dituke Mitzu Chumers, he says, the Anshe Maisa from a Yidin, who are Mekdaktik and all kinds of other Chumers and so on and so forth, and I don't know why, Loma Enam Ahadin Lekai Mitzu Sosho Torah, of Ashaladas Rov Mechabrim Noeg Bechutzlaretz. We're going to say Abishitz Tanya that most poskim hold it does apply in Chutzlaretz. Okay, Rashi and Tos said it doesn't, and the Shulchan Aruch had a Yesh Mish Omer, fine. But we're going to say Abishitz, I don't know why people, and I'm not here to introduce new Chumers, but anyone would like to join the Chumer Club. So go ahead. So we should make a fuss here in the United States. We should give Zerach Chaim and Keva to the coin. Okay, another Chumer. We're going to say Abishitz, I don't know why people aren't doing it. And he says, Efshar maybe. And maybe because we don't really have Kohanim, we're not really sure who actually are Kohanim. I've spoken like that in the past. Maybe not really Kohanim. Anyway, well, it goes on. I'm going to read in some. You can read. He says, he had a story of somebody who, Chosni Harabah, Chosni Harabah, Wolf Frenkel. Okay. He was making a pinyon aben. And he had meat with the Fleisha Gesuda for the pinyon aben. Right. So he said, well, I better give the Zohar Lachaim and Keva to the Kohen. Okay. Because what am I going to say? I'm not going to give it to not a real Kohen. So how am I doing pinyon aben? Right, so it was self-contradictory. He's going to give this money for Pidyon HaBen, even here, for that purpose, I'll hold you to be real coin, but Zohar Lachaim and Keva not. Anyway, but what's interesting is towards the end of this piece, look what it says here, and that's really what's relevant to us in 74, the very end. He says, I don't know why, maybe it'd be, you know, it's not so common today, but look what he writes, the third line from the fourth line from the bottom, the end of the line. The Kama and Shemai says, Shenostu Lahani Chachamim Shleiming, the Azul Eretz Yisrael Mos. There are people, the Rebbe Abishitz reports in his time, who gave money to people who were going to Eretz Yisrael, Uminu l'shluchim liknos b'shulam behemoth. They point them, you're my shliach, to go buy an animal and slaughter it, okay, and give the Zohar L'chaim and give it to the Kohen. So it's not similar to what we're talking about here with Shemitah. Rebbe Abishitz, again, in the 1700s, okay, close to 400 years ago, right? That's what some people did, that they would go ahead and give money to somebody going to Eretz Yisrael and appoint them as Shtrich, you go buy an animal for me, slaughter it, and give the Zohar L'chaim and Keva to some kohen you find over there. Okay? And after all, he says, another Matnas Kuna, right? L'Reish Sagez, whatever, shear the wool, give it that way. They had a share, even though they lived in Altona, Hamburg, and Wandsburg, wherever else the Yonathan was talking about. Okay? They had a share in that mitzvah. That's what happened. Shulch Svarim Kamoso, right? Mashliach. Buddy writes, Ani Hayisim Mesupak, I'm not sure. It's a good idea, like we said, to go and obligate yourself in mitzvahs. But now he raises a different question. Does it work? Does it work? What do you mean, does it work? He says, because we have a rule. I can't do this mitzvah myself. And we have a rule, okay, based on the Gemara Nazir, which are printed in 75. Gemara Yud Beis and Beis and Nazir. I can only appoint a shliach to do a mitzvah on my behalf when theoretically I can do the mitzvah myself now. Just that I'm not available, I can't do it, I'm busy with someone else, I appoint you as my shliach. I'm not going to be here, I'm out of town. Okay, whatever. I appoint a shliach. But here, you're sitting in Europe someplace, you couldn't do this mitzvah now, so how could you appoint a shliach? You're appointing a guy, a shliach, today to go ahead. He's going to take a trip to Eretz Yisrael, which in those days didn't just last a 9-hour flight or whatever. Okay.
No quarantine.
So we have a rule, huh?
No quarantine.
not to quarantine, but still took a long time to get there. But the bottom line is you couldn't do that mitzvah right now. That's what it says in the Gemara Nozer. Mitzvah you can't do right now, you can't appoint the shliach to do for you. Okay? And Rashi gives an example, a funny example. Let's say I have a woman who you'd like to marry. There's only one problem. She's already married to somebody else. Okay, so you can't do that mitzvah now. It's mitzvah to marry. You can't do it right now, right? Because she's married already. Oh, but you know that you heard they're getting divorced. You heard they're planning to get divorced. So what do? You figure like this. Listen, I have to travel on business. I'm going to be away for a month. Okay, I heard they're getting divorced and I want to marry her. She wants to marry me. Do me a favor. Okay, as soon as you hear the divorce goes through, be mekadesh her on my behalf. Right, you can be a Kaddish woman. If a man can't make his own wedding, strange, but you can be a Kaddish, you know, you can appoint a shliach to do the wedding for you. Any husband who can't make it to his wedding can appoint somebody else to give the ring for him. Strange case, but that's what it says in the Mishnah Kiddushin. So that's what you want to do here. I say to the guy, listen, I know she's getting divorced any day. We want to get married. Okay. But I'm afraid if, while I'm away, she'll chop a rhyme and I'll miss out. So I'm going to give you the ring now. I'll give you a ring right now. And you're my shliach. As soon as you hear the divorce went through, engage on my behalf. Doesn't work, says the Gemara, because right now at the time I'm pointing to the shliach, I can't marry her. She's married, right? The get hasn't come through. And Tos discussed this there in Nozer also in Yud Beis and Aleph, okay? And it's mentioned the same case, right? Usually a shliach can be Mekadesh, but Af Kidsha Shliach, Enem Kudesh is now, okay? And he has, okay, as an exception, there's a case by Chafor Shishchala, which we won't go right now, okay? By Chafor Shishchala, you can appoint her, even though the dough hasn't been made yet. But there are other reasons why Afro Shishchal is different, because you could theoretically do it now. The Mordechai talks about it. We're running out of time. I don't speak about that. But that's a fascinating question. How far do we take that? And that's what the Rebbe Shlitz was mesupik about. How far do we take that? Do we say he has to be able to do it right this second? Theoretically, he could. Maybe this guy could go to Eretz Yisrael right now and do the Zohar L'Chaim Keva himself. So that's a question. How far do we take it? The Marie Bruno, one of the Rishonim, has a tshuva in Simon Kufayin Ches, 79. In the olden days, you know, a lot of times they sold, especially on Simchas Torah, they sold all the aliyahs for the year, all the big aliyahs for the year to somebody. He was, you know, this guy bought all the chazaks, and this guy bought all the shishis, and this guy bought, so this person bought all the Hagman Galilas. Okay, he's in charge of Hagman Galilas, he's going to give it out, either take it himself or give it to somebody. And then it turns out he had to go to, he got sick and he couldn't go to shul. So now can he give it to somebody else? So Maribor is not so sure, because he said, I can't do it myself, I'm not in shul, I'm sick in the hospital. So I can't do it myself. I can't point someone else to be my shliach. Interesting case. So that's the question here, coming back to our question about Shemitah. Let's assume, okay, we're going to say it's a given that a person should be able to want to put himself in a situation to do a mitzvah and should do everything he can, unless it's too unbelievably expensive, it's going to put him in the poorhouse, fine. But absent that, you should do it. But the question is, does it work? That's when the Sanhedrin wasn't so sure it would even work. On the other hand, because again, you couldn't do that mitzvah yourself. On the other hand here, well, I could go to Eretz Yisrael myself in 9 hours, okay, even in quarantine, but I'll make a deal and I'll buy land, so I could do it. So you have to be able to do it right this second. You know, that's the issue that the post can discuss a little bit. I do want to point out the Vilna Gaon, I should have mentioned this earlier, in the Maaseh Rav, okay, Likud Divin Maaseh Rav, he went ahead in those Kuf Beis and he bought a Bechor, Behema, so he could do the mitzvah of Bechor, and he mentions Mechad Rei Shechiyana and the Bracha, and he also, in Kuf Gimel, he sorted an animal, he gave the Zola Chaim and Keva to the Kohen. Okay, so again, he put himself in the mitzvah. The Chai Adam has a sefer called the Chochmas Adam. So one section of the Chochmas Adam at the end, he has dinim related to Eretz Yisrael. It's called Shari Tzedek, Shar Mitzvah Sa'aretz Os Aleph. He writes in 81, Rafilu Hadorim Bemedina Sayam, Yecholim Lekayim Kol Mitzvah Satum Aretz Aide Shliach. Chai Adam writes it openly. Okay, somebody can, and not like him in the same says, you can do it through a Shliach. The Kaimalan Shulchan Kamoso. He raised a different issue. You have to appoint the Mashiach the right way. It's not so push it. You have to, he says in the Binas Adam, that's the footnote in 82, he writes, I, the Gemara Nazir, said, no, you could do it. That's not called Mechusar Maisa. You could go yourself. You just don't want to go right now. This guy's going, but you could go, right? So that's the situation today. You could do it. As someone's pointing out, yeah, and Jackie's pointing out in the chat. You know, you don't even need to go to it. So you can buy the land from here, right? It's absolutely correct. So that's what the Chai Adam says. So that would point to the fact that it's not a bad idea. All these, again, how much are you willing to spend? I spoke to Schechter, about it, and he said he thinks it's a good thing. He says, you know, to give, yeah, you'll have a share in the mitzvah. What bothered me, I touched up on a little bit about it. And then there are Usher Weiss, Shlita gave a share about this topic, mentioned some of these sources and really was thinking about it from a different angle. But he gave a share in Tinek over the summer about this. He didn't mention this, he went to Abishas, he mentioned some of the other Makaris, but he said it's a problem And as I said to Bashakli, but before even he said it, what are you appointing guy shliach to do? See, in the case of the Zohar L'Chaim and Keva, I'm appointing him to go buy the animal and slaughter it and give the gift to the Kohanim on my behalf. What are you doing here? You're appointing guy shliach to what? To do nothing, not to work the land. So it's a Shev El Taisa, right? I'm appointing him as a shliach. I buy a piece of land, okay? And now that land is going to lie fallow. That land's going to lie fallow even if I didn't buy it. From people said, what did I add? What happened? That land will be empty no matter what. Nothing was added. And I didn't, I'm appointing God as Sheikh to do nothing. So that's what bothered me a little bit about it. Again, Rosh Hashanah didn't accept that. Okay. He said, yeah, no. But nevertheless, he seems it was a good idea. Others don't. The only tshuva that I saw printed about it, you know, in print, or Sternbuch, in Tshuvas von Hargis, Chelek Hei Simon Shin Hei, 84, he talks about it. Nishalti, our question. I'm Yesh Mitzah Liknos as a Chelek Bisadeh Beretz Yisrael. Relishpos Shom Elochid at a Kaim Ba'atzom Mitzah Shemitah. Okay. And so on. Therefore, he'll get some of the Mitzah. And he writes, not really sure, because at the end of the day, it's a Mitzah on the land, right? The Shov Sa'aretz. I printed the Psukim, and really, the Mitzah is the land should lie fallow. The Mitzah is Shov Sa'aretz. Yeah. Sorcha lo Sizra, it says, you're not allowed to plant the field. Rashan Shri Shabbos, Sorcha lo Sizra, Chamacha lo Sizra, the end of Parakaf, Pazim Dal Bahar, 83. He says, you know, it is, but ultimately it's for the land to lie fallow. So again, Rashan didn't agree with that, the Taina, but, Rashan also seems to say that, you know, it's questionable. But then he writes at the end, and this will finish. But what are people looking for all these, kunzes, you know? What you want to do is give the, I don't know about the organizations, but give the money to the farmers who have to not work this year, not going to have their regular income. He said, that's the best thing to do. Yeah, if these organizations are supporting the farmers, then it's not a good thing. Then you have a share in Shemitah, just like a person supports Talmud Torah is a share in Talmud Torah. So you have a share in Shemitah. You don't have to buy land. Okay, give the money to organizations that support the farmers who need help this year. Show me lachzikam shukul kaima mitzvahs, he says. Okay, then you get a schar that way. So if these people who advertise buying the land are doing it, be able to support the farmers and so on who have to struggle this year because they're not allowed to farm. They don't want to farm their land. They don't want to rely on the coolers and so on. So that's worthwhile. So it's, as I said, it's always worthwhile to give stock it. Okay. Again, so the Rosh Hashanah felt that there was a value that land that you own is lying fallow, even though it's not it's not a kumbaseh. It's not something you're actually doing and you're not really appointed to do something. And others, the Rosh Hashanah seem to question it. The Rosh Hashanah also questions it. But anyway, if the money you're giving to is going to an organization that supports the farmers, okay, then about it's good. That's, helping the people who need it. So it's stuck. And then you have a share in their mitzvah of Shemitah, just like someone who supports Talmud Torah has a share in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Okay, we'll stop over here. Oops. Okay. I'm recording. Just a moment. I'm sorry.